Hey guys, it's Kathy Conamurio, the Crafty Chica, here with another episode of my Crafty Chica podcast, the Crafty Chica Show, where I share all kinds of tips for creativepreneurs, whether if you are a blogger or an artist or a crafter or you want to be any of these things. I try to pull all the best tips and tricks that I've learned together to share them with you here on this podcast. Now, this episode is all about pitching. Not pitchy like American Idol style, but pitching to a company or to a buyer. All these different types of people that we want to notice us and work with. And this is actually such a huge topic. I will break this up into two different podcasts, but for now, I'm just going to give you a high-level view of the different types of pitches that are involved and just, you know, a few notes of what you can do to get started. Because if you want to scale up your business, you're going to have to pitch yourself and your brand to important people, influencers, people who can make a difference to make a decision to help you or to give you a chance. And depending on how you craft your pitch will definitely depend on, you know, definitely have an impact on what type of result that you get. Now, let me mention, I do not edit this podcast. This is just me talking straight through. And I kind of like it that way because I feel like we're having a conversation. If you get into editing, it gets out all of the juicy parts sometimes. So we're just going to go for this. So first and foremost, when you want to start pitching to people, you have to know what is the reason that you're pitching. What do you want to get out of things? So I put a list together of the different categories that I have used to make pitches to send to. So there's press. That's if you want to get your business written up about. And this is important because how many times have you ever looked at an article that said, oh, the top 10 blah, 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 or you need to buy these top 10 products from these stores, and here's five people who you need to watch out for in the next year, like these different articles, and you think, well, gosh, they forgot me, or why didn't they look at me? Well, you can't get mad at them. You have to show them who you are and get on their radar. And in order to do that, you have to pitch to them of what your brand is about. So press is a really, really big one, because even though it doesn't necessarily bring in direct money, it will definitely elevate your brand if you have these awesome media companies that have chosen you to write a feature about or include you in a feature. So that's an important one. Another one is brands. If you're an influencer and say you have a YouTube channel or a blog and you want to work with your dream brand, your favorite companies, how do you even know how to reach out to them? Well, I'm going to get there and give you some tips. Another one is maybe companies that you want to work with, not necessarily brands and influencer type of things, but maybe you want to design a set of headphones for a company, or you want to design a line of scrapbook paper, those kind of retail decisions. You want to have your own product line, or you want to be included as a beta tester for a company that's coming out with a new product that they have. And the other category is buyers for wholesale. This is if you're an artist or a professional designer and you want to have your products that you make in your art studio sold in stores. Well, you have to pitch your brand to the buyers of that store or chain of stores. That is another angle to pitch. Another one is buyers from the consumer category. This is people who are actually going to pick up your item, look at the price tag, make a decision if they want to buy this and take it home and set it up in their house or wear it. believe it or not, when you put your tag in the way you present your product in a store for retail, you're pitching that product to a consumer. And another angle is speaking engagements and conferences. If you have a favorite conference and you think, gosh, you know, I should be on that panel, or I should do this seminar next time, or why am I never included? Well, you need to pitch to them. You need to look up that conference and see when the dates are, when the deadlines are to submit your information and, you know, put yourself on the radar out there. Now, these are just some of the different categories. I'm sure there are a lot more categories, but it's good if you can narrow down a couple of these, because when it comes to crafting your pitch, it is not going to be one size fits all. Oh, I forgot another one, consulting. Like, say you want to be a consultant and you're pitching to people to buy your services. That's another huge one that a lot of people are doing right now with all the different types of coaches that are out there. And oh, another one would be like if you're teaching online classes or art workshops, any of that, you know, that's a whole other way of pitching. But regardless, all of these, even though they're different categories, what they all have in common is that you have to put yourself out there and do what my husband calls it, the Crafty Chica hard sell. When I'm really excited about something, what is your hard sell? Well, I'm going to give you some ideas of how to put that together. Now, you're looking at your business and you're saying, okay, I'm doing, you know, I could do better on sales. Maybe I have a new product line coming out and I want to get some attention for that. I think I'm going to go with press. I'm going to pitch myself for some press hits. Well, the first thing that you want to know is, okay, what kind of press? Do you want to promote your store to get sales, or do you want to promote your story as a designer, like a feature story of your backstory? Do you want to promote an event that you're going to have your things on sale at? So you have to know those different categories. Once you know, subcategories, we'll call them subcategories, and each one of these areas has subcategories. Okay, again, it's high level. It goes a lot deeper, but I'm just going to go over the basics. So after you know what you're pitching for, the category and the subcategory, you need to know your one sentence description pitch of who you are and what makes you different. This is a tricky one, but you need to get this down, because if you don't know what makes you different and sets you apart from everybody else, how is anyone else supposed to know? Here is a good place to start. And anyone who knows me has heard me say this before, but I think an easy way to do this is to take some very popular personalities in entertainment and kind of mash them together. Now, this is a tip that I had received from my book agent a few years ago, and she had to shop my book, and also with my product line, she used the same thing, and she said something like, you know, Crafty Chica is Ugly Betty meets Martha Stewart, and immediately people's faces lit up, because at the time that she was doing this, it's when Ugly Betty was on the air and everyone was just so charmed by that show. Even if they didn't watch it, they could see the ads and they got it. And that helped so much, because people were like, okay, I love this. Tell me more. And then it could go into a longer conversation. So maybe you could come up with your own version. It doesn't have to necessarily be personality based. Maybe it's, a unicorn and the, you know, it mashed with graffiti, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, Oprah with a dash of sparkle power or whatever. You just come up with your own version of what you are in a sentence. But a good place to start is to pick some popular personalities, and it's this meets that. And you can kind of work down from there to come up with a good sentence. And believe it or not, I have several of these. Like, you have to update them over time. Like, I don't use the Ugly Betty reference anymore because she's kind of out of date. I don't even use the Martha Stewart one anymore. I have some other ones that I've put together that are more relevant because you don't want to use an outdated tagline or elevator pitch with outdated references. That is not a good place to start. So go ahead and think about putting that together, play around with them, come up with two or three different ones, and keep it short in a sentence, because the power of doing this is you're going to show what you are about instead of saying it. So instead of saying, I am a mixed media artist and I live in Phoenix, Arizona, you could say something like, you know, my most popular project is a cactus that I glittered from, you know, top to bottom, or I glittered the room of my art room floor. Like, think of this segues into the next thing where I say, come up with your claim to fame. You could work that into your sentence as well. But anyway, you know what I mean. You got to come up with that one quick sentence that really shows what you're about, and to get people's attention, to make you stand out. Another thing that you can think about is, this goes into the designing aspect, but I always like to tell people that if everyone had if there was a table with everyone's work on that table, and you were across the room and someone said, oh, I see the table, which one is yours? You want to be able to have a signature style, a signature pitch where you could look over and say, okay, see that table with all those hundreds of piñatas that are piled up? Mine is the one that is covered in glitter instead of crepe paper. Oh, I see it. Say, that's why I glitter my suitcase when I travel, because if I'm in a rush and I have to change flights, they go, which one is your suitcase? Mine's a purple one with glitter. I see it. I got it. So you have to take that mindset and apply it to what your elevator pitch is. And, you know, a one sentence quick hit kind of thing. And another thing you can do, if you can't quite come up with that pitch, come up with some fun claim to fames. And it doesn't necessarily mean like, I was on a reality show, but it can be as simple as, I glittered the floor of my art room studio and it's my most popular tutorial on my site. Something like that. It's a fast sentence and it shows like, oh my God, this is an epic DIYer that loves glitter, and glitter segues into so many other topics. So think of, you know, a claim to fame. Do you have 1,000 of this, 1,000 blog posts? Like, what are some different things that you have that you can draw upon? So you want to build a little bank of all of those, because as you're putting your pitches together, those are interesting facts that you want to sprinkle in there. Now, another thing before we even get into actually pitching people is, you want to be able to have your story readily available. So if you have a website, you want to have a bio page. I have two things. I have an About Me page, and I also have a Start Here page. The Start Here page is kind of like a manifesto about what CraftyChica.com is all about and the brand and why I'm doing it, whereas the About Me page is more about my story, and it gives some story of, you know, backstory of I'm a mom and kids and five chihuahuas and all of that. You want to have that there because that shows that you are not this huge soulless corporation, but that you're a person and you're working hard to make your dream come true. So it doesn't mean you have to put up this huge fancy website. It could be a one-page website or a three-page website. Just get something up, because I will tell you, every time I have worked for a company, I spent 13 years as a newspaper reporter and then also doing work with other companies. When I go to look someone up, I will go to Google and put in their name, and I want to see a website. Like, that tells me so much when I see someone's website. I can see what they're doing, what they're working on, how in tune they are with things, how much attention they have to detail. So not to scare you or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're really serious about your brand, get a nice website up. It's simple. It can be super simple. The next thing is you want to create a media kit, or you can also call it a lookbook. What this is this tells all of the highlights of your business. And a lot of times when you pitch to any of these categories that I mentioned, they're going to ask for a media kit or a lookbook. You're going to have really nice pictures. You're going to update this a couple times. I update mine at least 4 times a year because you want to have the most relevant information, you know, the most recent awesome headline about you or a milestone or a project that went viral, maybe a testimonial from someone. And yes, that goes into testimonials. So you can get quotes or video clips of people saying how much they love your business or your work or your speech. Gather those up and you can use those to sprinkle throughout your pitch as well. Okay, so now that you have all of that back stuff done, now you can say, okay, I'm ready to start tackling some of these categories. So I'm not going to be able to go through every single category to tell you how to approach them, but I'll hit the most popular ones. So for example, press. If you want to reach out to press, you find a newsworthy angle, like maybe you know, if say right now it's April and Earth Day is coming up and maybe you put together 50 projects for Earth Day, maybe it has to be more extreme. Maybe it's 100 ideas for Earth Day, just a wow topic that's going to make them turn their head and pay attention to what you're doing. One time I did a thing for Earth Day where I did 24 projects in 24 hours to save the Earth. And that was amazing. I got all these press hits off of that. And you have to send it out early enough so people have a chance to write about it. So when you go to pitch a press, you want to figure out, okay, I'm doing this 100 projects for Earth Day, and you're going to write up a one sheet, which is tells the who, what, why, when, where, and how of what this project is that you're doing. And you can either send it as an attachment or look up how to type a press release, or you can, you know, look at the company, the media outlet that you want to send it to. Find one of their writers who you really connect with, and you can direct message them either through Instagram or through Facebook. And, you know, instead of just sending it through snail mail or doing a general message through, you know, their main site messaging, I like to look for reporters and see different writers and who you connect with, and that just helps. And then you're going to say, hey, you know, hi, Barney. You know, my name's Kathy from Crafty Chica. I love all your stories, and I have an idea for you that I think you might just love. Now, I go into then, you know, I want to make 100 craft projects for Earth Day. I'm putting this challenge together. Here's more details below. I have pictures available of some of the projects that I've already made. Here's the links to all of my channels. I've attached my media kit. You want to put it that way. You want to put what you want right at the top of it and give them the hard sell. And say, for example, you could even go deeper on this and say, hey, Barney, oh my gosh, I love the recent article you did on XYZ. I shared it with my mom, and I'm just so excited to share this idea with you about this cool thing that I'm doing for Earth Day. So you can go a little deeper and be more personable. But here is the trick. You have to really, really review their stuff, because I hate it when I get pitches from people that say, hey, Kathy, I love your blog and I want to write for you. So here's some article ideas, you know, the 10 best type of office windows. And I'm like, what? You have not seen my site. So make sure that you really do look into each person that you're writing to. And So you want to kind of take that angle with all of these other categories as well. I will just use that one as an example. And when you remember that when you do send out your information to pitch to them, you want to make sure that your site looks nice, all of your links work, that check your feeds of all of your social, that everything looks good. Because basically what you're doing is you're drawing attention to yourself and you're inviting them over to your house. So you want to make sure there's no dirty dishes in the sink. And again, it depends who you're pitching to, but for the most part, you want to have everything together. Okay, I will go into one other section and then I'll do a part two in a future podcast. Now, this one touches also on the crafting a personable type of pitch. Now, if you are pitching for something, for someone maybe to use your services or to consider you to design a product line, you cannot be generic and just share cut and paste information. You cannot say, hey, you know, Mr. So-and-so from this company, you know, I really think that you need to hire me to design a product line because I will, A, bring more customers to your website. B, I am very, you know, passionate about what I do. No, that is like custom cut and paste information. If I really want to work with a company or a person, I will go to their site. I will research everything and I will put a PowerPoint together that spotlights what they're working on now that I know that they want to help promote. And I will come up with at least three ideas of how I can incorporate that into what I do. So say, for example, I was doing the Crafty Chica tour, a road trip. And or this is actually a true one. Like I could reach out to a car company, and which is what I did, and put an idea together of saying, this is the name I want to call it. I want to visit different cities and I want to set up in a local independent craft place and do a craft workshop. And I'm going to call it this and I can tag you on this, you know, summers when people do road trips. And I just really made it special for that brand. And that wasn't the first time I pitched for a car. And another time, the same thing, I pitched for a car and I did like this fancy presentation and they were like, wow, this is the best presentation ever. Or, you know, recently it was like, wow, we love that idea. That's so fun. So that's so important because I've also received pitches from people where I'm like, wow, they seem really cool to work with. Like, you know, someone who'd wanted to redesign my website. And I'm like, okay, you know, let me know. I'm listening. I want to know. And then they sent me like a generic rundown of what the benefits would be for me hiring them. And it was an outrageous price. And I thought, well, I don't know if I want to pay all that money for you to redo my website just based off of this generic information you said. Now, if they had sent me maybe a couple samples or ideas, that would have been wonderful. In fact, I actually, when a few years ago when I was looking to redesign my site, there was a company that I was considering using. And they were wonderful. Like they gave me drafts, sketches, everything, three different options. And it only didn't work out because I was working with another bigger company and they're making the final decision, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I loved that they hit it out of the park to give me the best presentation ever. And what happened out of that? I started referring that company to everybody because I knew the kind of work that they could do. And you know, whereas this other company that wanted to redo my website, I was really excited. And then it turned out to where they didn't really give me anything to be excited about. And I thought, well, gosh, if I'm going to pay out, if they're asking for all of this money and they have not invested research and time into what I'm doing, then maybe they don't believe in me. Maybe they don't understand. And I ended up having my web guy redo my site. He did an awesome job. But it's just, the point is, you just have to go that extra mile to make it super special. I have a friend, Alexa Westerfield. She was on an earlier podcast, and she was applying for a graphics artist job at this one craft company. She made this whole really cool package for the marketing director. So she didn't only turn in her resume, she also turned in samples of her work. And she had looked up the marketing director's social media feeds and saw what she liked. And she made some really cool designs, some cool things for her. And the marketing director loved it, and she ended up hiring her. So it really is about going that extra mile. Well, I am going to wrap this up because I know I've given you a lot of information so far. And I will do a part two down the road. But what I want to know is, send me questions. If you guys have any questions about this, leave them in the comments so that I can see them and I will answer them so that I can help you. Let me help you figure this stuff out. And don't forget to leave a review if you're on iTunes. I would appreciate that so much. And share this podcast with your friends. You can find me at craftychica.com and at craftychica at all the social media feeds. And I will talk to you guys soon. I hope you have a super, super, super happy day. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.